Riley, how are you?
I'm okay, and I tell you, it's winter here in Israel. I almost, was still asleep. Thank God something inside me said, wake up, you've got to do the Balagan Baboke.
Oh.
But it's cold, it's wet, it's raining. It's just as we love it after a very hot summer.
Yeah. Listen, as long as there's rain, then that's absolutely fantastic. I want to start off with
my ruler ready, Howard.
Yes.
You know, as Israelis, you know how we get with the rain?
Yes, you're going to measure it.
I have my ruler ready.
Yes.
I'm going to go outside in a moment and measure, how many millimeters of rain we've received.
Oh, gosh. The truth is I'm obsessed with numbers as well. Jewish and Muslim kids celebrate Mitzvah Day by baking Christmas cookies.
How cute is this story?
What an amazing story.
And you know where this took place? Not in Israel, but in Berlin. So at the Duppel Youth Center in Berlin, volunteer face painters and clowns and princesses and ghouls all turned up to look after Jewish and Muslim kids, none of whom celebrate Christmas, while they rolled out dough and decorated cookies and made Christmas cookies, which they will bake and give to Christian children. And this is an act of goodwill sponsored by the Central Council of Jews in Germany, and it really couldn't come at a more important time. Not only the time of the year we are before Christmas, or Chag HaMolad as it's called in Israel in Hebrew, mm-hmm. but also because there's been so much tension in Germany and such rising anti-Semitism that even Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, has come out and said, it's a rising problem, it's a growing problem, it's something that's happening in Germany, much to her dismay and her extreme worry. Mm-hmm. And to see this kind of outreach by the youngest generation is really heartwarming. So what these kids are going to do, they're going to bake these cookies, they're going to wrap them in bags, and they're going to deliver them to a church soup kitchen, which is non-denominational. The organization over there is called the Berliner Tafel, or the Berlin Table. And these will be given to Christian children from Muslim and Jewish children who worked together.
Absolutely fantastic. What a great, great initiative. I really, really love that on so many different levels. Jerusalem almost gets a Thanksgiving parade.
Well, Howard. I was expecting Snoopy and Garfield and all these things that,
and
we grew up watching American TV and seeing happens in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because you see, Thanksgiving is celebrated in Israel amongst the American community. There is this balagan for a turkey you can't believe. So when I heard this, I got very excited. I thought we're going to have, the full-on parade thing. I now know what sitcoms are talking about. But apparently, even though we are getting four balloons, they're not Macy's Day balloons. So now I have visions of like four, maybe, balloon trick balloons on a really long string floating over Jerusalem. I'm quite upset about this.
Yes. And so what is happening? Nothing.
So this will be taking place on December the 3rd. This is, normally we have New York having an Israel Day celebration. We're going to be having a New York celebration, which is very cool. So we'll have marching bands and massive sculptures, and we'll have a motorcade, because we have so many motorcades here in Israel. We'll have antique and classic cars. We'll have athletes joining in the march and the parade. We'll have an outdoor concert. It's going to be like a full-on day of, let's celebrate New York, and we'll have a parade from Liberty Bell Park, which is, if you know Jerusalem and kind of where the Inbal Hotel is, it's down the road from the King David, all the way to the Sultan's Pool, which is the big park that's opposite the old city. It's really quite extraordinary, but the big mystery is, are we getting the Macy Day balloons or aren't we? And rumor has it we're not getting the nice big balloons we were going to get, which is, it's like crushed my childhood hopes, Howard.
Is there no room for a class action suit, or is that still very, very much about El Al and maybe Airbnb?
Well, it looks like, definitely El Al. There's conflicting reports last week whether or not violence actually did break out on the El Al flight. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been on flights that have landed pretty close to Shabbat, and no violence has broken out, but it has been a great concern amongst people on board the flight. But it looks like we are moving towards a class action suit to be filed against Airbnb. And this is a very interesting one because the reason for the filing of the suit is not based on anti-Semitism or on politics or on dealing with issues about BDS. In fact, it's about contravening Israeli law. Now, in a law that was legislated in the year 2000, the law in Israel forbids discrimination based on the place where you live. And attorneys have filed a suit based on this, and they are saying that what Airbnb has done by removing all the listings from Judea and Samaria is they have enforced discrimination based on the place where you live. And they are expecting some 200 people to start joining the suit, people who have said that Airbnb, instead of talking to those who would be affected, people who would be renting Airbnbs, people who rent out their homes for Airbnbs, instead of consulting with them and explaining, you know, what their motivations were and what the understanding was, they ran straight to the press. So they indulged in a little bit of press grandstanding before talking to the actual people affected, and now they're going to get zapped with a class action.
Incredible. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think it's going to be very, very interesting. I think that we are going to see elements from the government who will probably want to join in the class action because, you know, why waste the opportunity to give Airbnb a smack? You know, earlier this week I spoke to somebody from NGO Monitor, and his response was that the organizations that had pushed for this legislation or that this decision by Airbnb were NGOs that are supportive of BDS, so definitely have a dog in the race, and B, they've done it at the expense of other conflicts around the world. So now we are seeing something concrete done by Israel. And what also makes this a very interesting case is that Airbnb may be in contravention of the U.S. laws or legislation in the U.S. which prohibits any boycotts of Israel. So I think in the weeks to come, this is going to be a very, very interesting case to watch, both from a legal position in Israel, because again, the suit is not filed on the basis of anti-Semitism or on politics, but on a contravention of Israeli law. And it will be interesting to see what happens in the United States if they are in contravention of the anti-BDS laws over there. So in the petition to the court, in the case, it is written that the case is particularly grave and outrageous because Airbnb has pulled listings from only one disputed territory, the West Bank, while continuing to list rentals in other places such as Tibet, Northern Cyprus, I know in Russia as well. How would you know? They're even listing Gaza, apparently. I mean, I don't know who goes to Gaza and rents an Airbnb.
Well, certainly not me or you, because we're Jewish, so therefore we're not going to be allowed. But that obviously isn't a concern for Airbnb at all. It's fascinating because until I heard the issue that and we spoke to Anthony Reich about it yesterday, but before I heard the issue of there being a legal issue in the United States potentially because there might be a contravention of some U.S. laws, I thought the way that Airbnb would sidestep this issue is that they would take an area like, for example, the Sahara, where that is disputed, and start not allowing that as well. That would be their legitimacy. In other words, they would include other areas where there's conflict. But they're going down a very, very slippery slope. Very foolish if they do that, because it doesn't end. You could argue every area many areas are problematic. Do we have any sense of how widespread the negativity and the boycott is in Israel? It's very, you know, as I always say, we create our own social media echo chambers. So I'm seeing it everywhere, but it doesn't mean that it is everywhere.
Well, at the moment, it is only areas in the West Bank. It's only apartments or homes in the West Bank. It's not anywhere else in Israel. That's, you know, I just want to make that clear, that at the moment, it is only homes in the West Bank or Judea and Samaria. It's not in other parts of
Israel. No, what I was referring to is the boycott, the Israel's boycott, and people in Israel. A lot of people have deregistered from the site. How widespread is that? Do you think that Airbnb are already feeling that?
Excellent question. Well, the Minister of Strategic Affairs, Gilad Erdan, has pushed, because BDS is his focus of his portfolio, he has pushed to have taxes on Airbnb members raised so that it impacts them there. But a lot of people are delisting. They say that the law is, from their perspective, anti-Semitic and discriminatory, and they do not want to participate. But, you know, you do raise such an important thing about, you know, do we become our own echo chamber on social media? And I'm following people's comments across social media. And I saw one last night that was interesting. You know, can we, dear Airbnb, can we delist in Poland and in Russia because, you know, my family lost property there? You know, so it made me think for a second, you know, how far back do we go and where do we go? Because as you've just said, there are so many areas of contention.
Exactly right. So it'll be very, very interesting to see how this plays out. And I would imagine that that Israel does need to be a little bit cautious as to how it deals with this, because you also don't want the perception created that the Israeli government is going to, you know, you can find very, very quickly that Airbnb becomes the perceived victim in this, and that is the danger of this type of approach.
Well, I think you're right, and you and I have discussed it before, you know, that sometimes from Israel's side, there is a knee-jerk reaction you know, and we've discussed it in particular with the banning of BDS activists coming into the country, that, you know, we react immediately and emotionally without, like, bigger picture thinking. And, you know, all this does is play into their claims and into their rationale as to why they are doing what they're doing.
Absolutely right. Roland Marks, there we do have to leave it. It is almost 8 o'clock. Thank you, as always, for your insight and for the latest coming out of Israel. These are the talk topics in Israel this week. This is what everybody's been talking about, some of the bigger stories. You have a Shabbat Shalom, disconnect, and we'll catch you on the other side.